Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse 20. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words "it was counted to him" were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Let's pray. Father, your word is so true and so beautiful. Father, all the scriptures that we have read tonight, Lord, may you cause them to play a symphony in our ears. May you cause our hearts and our minds to understand the truth of the gospel. May you cause our hearts and our minds to embrace the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, so that we may too be counted as righteous by our faith in you. Father, may you do a work this evening. May you do a work to exalt yourself. May you overcome us. May you overcome me. May you overcome all that stand in the way of truth and glory. Father, we ask that you be honored here this evening. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, the only name under heaven and earth that we must be saved. We ask it in his name. And all God's people said, amen. We are here tonight to celebrate the birth of the Christ child, but we must be celebrating the right way or we will dishonor God in our celebration. If we celebrate rightly, two things will happen. God will be worshiped and honored, and we will grow spiritually strong in the Lord. The phrase that grabbed my attention and drew me to this text for tonight is the phrase, "But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God." This passage is about Abraham. This passage is about Abraham trusting in God. This passage is about God writing for us the ability to see what saving faith looks like and how it reacts. And so let's unpack this passage, and by God's grace, we will give God the glory as he deserves. Verse 20. No distrust made him, Abraham, waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. The phrase "gave glory to God" is fueled by saving faith, which rests in the word of God. It rests in the statement, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised to do. You can see that in verse 21. Verse 21 says that Abraham was fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. In other words, Abraham's faith didn't rest in Abraham. Abraham's faith didn't rest in his faith, but Abraham's faith rested in God. It rested in the God who has spoken to him. It rested in a God who was trustworthy, and it rested in the word that God had spoken. And Abraham saw the word of God as trustworthy because he trusted in the character and nature of a holy and sovereign God. If Abraham did not trust God, he never would have trusted in his promises. It's foolish to say, "I believe what someone says, but I don't trust his character." In other words, when we say we believe in the word of God, what we're declaring to each other and to ourselves is that the one who has spoken is trustworthy. The one who has declared his will is trustworthy. The one who has spoken to us is truthful, and his truth will always be truthful. His truth never changes. Look at verse 22. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. In other words, saving faith trusts in God and his word, not in self and our own abilities and our own wisdom. If Abraham was trusting in himself and his own abilities, it would not be counted to him as righteousness, but rebellion. Think about that. If saving faith rests in the finished work and worth of Christ, and that is given to us as his righteousness is imputed to us by faith, and that is pleasing in the sight of God, then everyone that trusts in themselves, everyone that relies on his or her own goodness to get into heaven is considered rebellion. In other words, the only faith that is considered worthy is faith that places itself in one that is worthy, and that is in God and God alone. Look at verse 23. But the words, "it was counted to him," were not written for his sake alone. This is huge for us to see. In other words, it's not written for Abraham only, but for all who believe, so that our faith and our hope are in God and not self. You can see this in the beginning of verse 24 when Paul says, "but for ours also." This is the amazing beauty of God's word. It is for the people of God in all ages. The Bible contains glorious truths that describe Christians who lived and died for the Lord, and all those glorious truths are not hidden from us, but instead are given to us for our walk of faith. In other words, when you see someone else's faith described in Scripture, you should ask yourself the question, Lord, does this describe me? Am I walking this way? Do I believe in you this way? Do I trust in you this way? Do I obey you in this way? Am I honoring you in the way that I profess what I say I believe? In other words, we can read about all these brothers and sisters who are accorded in Scripture for us, and they are a tool that God uses to help mold our faith even today. Verse 24, Paul says, "But for ours also it will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord." Paul says something very specific here. In other words, faith rests in the Father, but resting in the Father only comes from going through Jesus Christ. Saving faith believes that God and God alone raised Jesus from the dead. God and God alone brought to life this one who was killed for our sins. Our righteousness does not come from believing that a baby was born. Our righteousness comes from believing that God sent his Son in love to his people to die for their sins, and that he raised him in glory and honor because he did the will of the Father perfectly and completely. The birth without the resurrection means nothing. We celebrate the birth of Jesus because of what he came to do. We do not simply celebrate his birth because life is precious. The gift of the Christ child is precious because he came, he conquered, and was exalted by the Father. Listen to what Paul says in Galatians 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons. Listen to what Luke writes in Acts 3. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. If our heart this evening or tomorrow rejoiced that baby Jesus was born, and it doesn't turn our hearts and it doesn't turn our minds to praise the Lord for his work of grace through this child, then we're looking at Christmas wrongly. If we don't look at this Christ child and see that this one came not only to live, but also to die. And not only to die, but to be raised again to life, to sit in the heavenlies, ruling and reigning over the earth and over the heavens. And he is the head of the church. The glorious resurrection of Jesus causes us to look at his birth rightly, seeing the purpose of God in verse 25. Look at verse 25 of Romans 4. It says, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. In the passages that we heard read earlier, the angel said, this will be the Holy One. He didn't die for his sins. He didn't die because he disobeyed the Father. He died for our disobedience. He died for our transgressions. He died for our rebellion. He died for our unrighteousness so that we could be the righteousness of God. The Father sent his Son to die for our sins and raised him from the grave to declare that his sacrifice was perfect and sufficient. In other words, when God sent forth his son, he sent forth a perfect savior, a perfect king, and a perfect high priest. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to start reading in verse 27. We read this passage on Sunday to show that God chose the foolish things in the world, and we use that to refer to ourselves and to our calling and our salvation. But I'd like this evening to walk through this passage to see the glory of the Christ child. 1 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 27. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. The first thing I want us to see is that the world thinks that the gospel of Jesus and the work he accomplished on the cross is foolishness. The world thinks that it's foolish that someone else thousands of years earlier could die in our place so that we may be right with God. The world calls this foolishness. Look at in verse 27 as we continue. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. The world said that it is foolish to think that a sovereign God would send his holy son into the world to be born as a helpless baby. Think about it. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords humbled himself to be born as a baby. There were kings in this world. Herod tried to kill him. Other people tried to kill him. In other words, this baby was born helpless from a human perspective and weak from a human perspective. And yet he was, as we heard earlier, the one who all things were created by and through and for. And we need to understand that this is foolishness from the world's perspective, that a king of the earth would be born this way. Verse 28, God chose what is lowly and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that it are. God chose that his son would come as a lowly servant, and the world said, foolish. God chose that he had to die to be victorious, and the world said, foolish. God chose to exalt his holiness, and he poured out his wrath upon his beloved son because he bore our sins, and the world said, foolish. Paul says in Corinthians 5, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Why did God do it this way? Because in his perfect wisdom, he knew it was the only way to not only redeem his people, but also for him to remain holy, holy, holy. In other words, if God said, in my love, I will sweep your sins, I will sweep your rebellion under the doormat of heaven, just come and be and fellowship with me, he would have dishonored himself because he would not have been a just judge. He would have looked over sins that should have been punished, and he promised that they would be punished. This means the means of God sending his son, this means of the son being born of a woman, this means of the son living and dying for the glory of the Father was the only way that God could redeem his people and be worshiped as supreme and sovereign. Look at verse 29. Why did he do it this way? So that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and our sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. This is what it's all about. This is why that phrase grabbed my heart. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. In other words, as we worship Christ this Christmas, we need to be boasting only in the Lord, not in self, not in our own worth, not in our own merits, but we boast in this Christ child. We boast in this King. We boast that he did come and accomplish everything the Father sent him to accomplish. From the world's perspective, Christ could not be what he claimed to be because he wasn't rich, he wasn't famous, and he wasn't powerful. He wasn't even an earthly king. But through the eyes of faith, we see not just another baby. Instead, we see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords coming to save His people. Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. As you talk about Christmas, make sure you boast in the Lord. As you celebrate Christmas, make sure it is an overflow of your boasting in the Lord. For Christmas to be Christmas, Christ must be exalted above all things. May we seek to be strong in the Lord as we truly worship this Christmas, as we give glory to God for His honor and for His praise. Let's pray. Father, You are a gracious God. You are a God that has given more than we could ask or imagine in the gift of Your Son. And Your Son has purchased abundant grace that He has lavished upon His people. Father, we of all people should be most humble this Christmas season. We of all people who see and understand Your glory and Your accomplishment through Your Son. Lord, may we worship You rightly this Christmas. May we boast only in the Lord. And may we rejoice that this Holy One, who was born of a virgin, who died on the cross at the hands of the Romans and the Jews, but was raised to glory by the Father, may this child be worshipped rightly by faith as we give You the glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.